visiting the Minnesota Vikings, whether it be their 30 and 30 event, 30 under 30, 30 of top prospects, come in here, eat them out of house and home. They go visit them at their respective pro day at the combine. Let's start with running backs. Obviously, the Minnesota Vikings are in flux, especially with a lot of their different draft needs, depending on what happens with Adrian Peterson, whether they trade him or not. That changes everything, don't you think? Especially in round one. But yes. running backs that the Minnesota Vikings have been linked to aren't necessarily the Melvin Gurley's or Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, Tevin Coleman from Indiana. They've been all over David Cobb. Obviously, he's just on the street here at the University of Minnesota at his pro day. Talked to him. They invited him to the 30 event and this and that.
I was reading, and I forget where I read it, but they had their top people in the draft that they think the stock is rising the most. Well, like five players' stock rising the most, and the very likable players in the draft, sort of the darlings of the draft. Mm. David Cobb is on that list.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because he wasn't available after blowing, what was his quad or something?
His hamstring
at the combine. So teams couldn't see him run. They couldn't see him do this. They couldn't see him do that. So he kind of sat on the back burner until he got to do. Because at the University of Minnesota Pro Day, he wasn't available either. He did his own thing. And obviously teams are saying, okay, now he's healthy. He's a real deal. He's last year for the Gophers, one of the most reliable running backs in all of college football. Granted, he didn't have the splash or any of that oomph that maybe Gordon or Gurley have.
That's because they put up out just sick numbers. I mean, he put up great numbers.
But he holds onto the ball. He's one of those guys that's great between the tackles, a pretty decent goal line situation. He can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Shifty.
So the running backs that the Vikings have been attached to, obviously David Cobb, Boise State's J.E., South Dakota State's Zach Zenner, and Northern Iowa's David Johnson.
There you go. He's a horse.
You like N.I., don't you?
That's a good one.
Yeah. But later on in the draft.
Yeah, later on. I mean, it's fourth round.
And if they keep Adrian Peterson, there's no way they're drafting another running back, don't you? I mean, do you think?
No. They won't. I don't know about
Banyard, Asiata, McKinnon, Peterson.
I like that. I don't
know why they would draft another guy.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, they're there to be had, but I don't know why they would do that. You can't get enough offensive linemen. If you get the couple first guys nailed down, say you nail down a linebacker, inside or out, something to fill for the middle position here on the Viking squad, also a corner, so we can get some bookends going with Rhodes and whomever. Mm. Maybe you can knock down that left guard in the first two picks. I don't know. But after that, after you get what you feel really comfortable about, you better just go ahead and get some insurance with another one offensive lineman that you know is a real deal kind of guy.
Yeah. Guards, the two early round picks the Vikings have met with are TJ Clemmings and AJ Cann. I like AJ Cann as a possible second round pick. He would be interesting. The wide receiver positions, no reports that the Vikings have met with either Amari Cooper or Kevin White, but there are multiple meetings, obviously, the Vikings have had with Devontae Parker. We talk about that at the Combine. Doriel Green-Beckham, too, visited the Vikings at Winter Park as well. Devontae Parker, though, the passmate, the wide receiver to Teddy Bridgewater's quarterbacking at Louisville.
That kid is the guy that they expect to fall, past us even. That's what they're talking about, is that I don't see him doing that. I see maybe all three of those receivers being gone. But every draft you look at, you see Devontae Parker falling off. You see, as you mentioned earlier before going into the break, you see offensive linemen coming to the forefront. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have Andres Pete, the offensive tackle from Stanford. Sheriff, of course, is going to go probably top five. That's what a lot of people are thinking anyway. Another kid that I was talking about that you just mentioned.
Mock draft on SportsCenter had Sheriff going to the Bears today. Number seven?
The Bears would be seven. And then the one I'm looking at right now, and it changes every day, but it has Brandon Scherff going to the Redskins at five.
Well.
And it has Andres Pete from Stanford going to the Rams at 10. Mm-hmm. Then you go down, you find Lael Collins from LSU going 14 to the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. And where is the guy that I'm looking for? Not Jake Fisher. Hold on. Now, the first center, Cameron Irving from Florida State, going to the Cardinals. And Cameron. Oh, wait. Hold
Flowers.
On. It's Flowers. That's a good player.
A lot of those guys are in the top 10 in that Sports Center thing I was watching this morning. Linebacker Stephon Anthony. Like I said, my my uncle Chris, a big Clemson supporter, he had a meeting with the Vikings. Stephon Anthony, also a lot of mock drafts I'm seeing as well. Him going at the end of the first round to the Green Bay Packers, if he were to fall, might be a decent look at anyway. He's got a big body, pretty decent in coverage for the Minnesota Vikings in round two. Also, TCU's Paul Dawson visited Winter Park. Benardrick McKinney of Mississippi State not only had a combine meeting with the Vikings, but he also visited the team facilities too at Winter Park. Same goes for Shaq Thompson of Washington. The Vikings like him a lot. He can play, he did play safety and linebacker. He can play all over the field. A lot of people saying, being so versatile, he might be able to be drafted by the New England Patriots. Vic Beasley, another player from Clemson who drew interest not only from the Vikings, who was also in attendance. The Vikings were there at his pro day, but also in an interview at the combine. Dante Fowler, who's expected to go top five, if not top three, from Florida. Randy Gregory from Nebraska also secured invites to the Vikings' top 30 events. I'd say don't touch Randy Gregory. The guy just can't stay off the weed. Constantly being tested positive in Nebraska, then again at the combine.
He's a player.
North Turner said earlier today that, hey, if somebody has a track record of doing something wrong, I mean, you can only conceive that person is going to continue
trend
along that same exact path.
They've never proven before in the past that they can't nip it after the first time, after the first correction or discipline, and they keep doing it over and over, not once, twice. We're talking about three, four, five times at the most critical times, like combine.
According to Bleacher Report, Matt Miller of Bleacher Report, the Vikings are, quote, in love with Trey Waynes. Lance Zierlin of NFL.com reported on 790 AM, a Houston radio station, that the Vikings, quote unquote, love Parker and would select him with the 11th pick if he was there. It's so funny how all these people have, at number 11, I've got inside information that this is going to happen, that's going to happen.
It's ridiculous.
Nobody has any inside information. Rick Spielman doesn't even necessarily know what he's going to do at number 11.
They don't 11. Know what's going to be there at 11.
And so
you can trust your instinct at 5, 6, 7, 8.
It's ridiculous.
Not 11.
Demarius Randall, he's a guy that has safety that's been shooting up a lot of draft boards. Matt Miller, again from Bleacher Report, said the Vikings also a big fan of the Arizona safety, wouldn't obviously play into the 11th overall pick. Could be selected, obviously, in a trade-up, though. It was weak safety class, though, in this year's draft.
T.J. Clemmings, big, big-time offensive tackle from Pittsburgh. Of course, the Broncos trying to fill in there after losing a tackle in the veteran free agency. But this is going to be funny. Todd Gurley, as we've mentioned before in the past, to the Browns at number 19. And, of course, my guy, the guy I would take ahead of him, Melvin Gordon, going number 32 to the Patriots from Wisconsin.
I'd say I don't think he lasts that long. I think he's gone by the San Diego Chargers probably.
Gordon? Yeah, yeah.
Or the Arizona Cardinals or the Dallas Cowboys. I would think one of those teams would snatch him up before he falls to number 32. Cornerbacks, though, in one of the mock drafts that we were just talking about off the air, Marcus Peters, Washington, who's had, obviously, I don't even know the exact story behind his situation, but he was kicked off the team. Newest mock drafts have the Minnesota Vikings selecting him, which he makes more sense if he didn't have all this baggage.
He's got some issues.
As a kind of player that Mike Zimmer would love to have. He's a big, tall, physical cornerback. Used to playing man-to-man, whereas Trey Waynes plays a little bit more cover zone.
About twice as fast, too.
Trey Waynes is fast. Twice as fast, you're saying.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, he's very fast.
What would you say if the Minnesota Vikings took Marcus Peters from Washington at number 11 over Trey Waynes?
That big mistake. But you're asking for trouble,
Any
again?
Players with red flags, you'd say, no, thank you.
Well, you got a guy like Trey Waynes sitting there that doesn't have any baggage. Not to say that he can't make a mistake. He's human.
Same thing with Dorial Green-Beckham.
Yeah.
Who had massive off-the-field issues.
I saw that feature. In fact, they had a pretty good length feature on him and his family and what's taking place with him down at Mizzou. Mm-hmm. Where he came from, a really, really super tough part of St. Louis, I think like East St. Louis. And he's been brought up the hard way, but basically adopted by another family. He's a good player, but he's got a lot to reprove himself. Does he deserve to go in the first round? He's talented enough to go in the first round. I don't know if he's going to go there, though. It's a pretty tough situation for him, too. And I saw that whole feature, and I like the kid, too. It's just that there's a voice in their head that needs to be the voice of reason that says, don't do it. Just don't do it. But yet, they will always make the other decision and end up having to pay the price for it.
I get the fact if the player is unbelievably talented and makes a stupid mistake somewhere down the road. I just don't understand these multiple stupid mistakes like a Jameis Winston going number one overall, or a Dorial Green Beckham, or Marcus Peters. These guys that are fantastic and could probably be a top 10, top 5 draft pick, but just constant,
over and over again,
off the field issues. I say absolutely no way do I want him on the Minnesota Vikings. If the Vikings haven't learned their lesson by having these off the field issues by these professional players after they do draft him or sign him and bring him in here, it's an embarrassment. It's got to be an embarrassment down at Winter Park.
Look what we've been through already just this past season. I mean, Adrian Peterson, and we're almost begging to have him back. But he's awfully good, and that's what these kids are too. I mean, Warren Sapp went through the same thing. Randy Moss went through the same thing on draft day. Slid all the way down to the end of the draft, first round. You take him. Warren Sapp's in the Hall of Fame. Still screwing up though, by the way. Just he's his own worst enemy. Randy Moss seems to have straightened out and leveled out pretty nicely. Probably a first ballot Hall of Famer, but they slid way off, and for good reason. Yeah. People didn't want to take a chance on him. Come on back.
With the new personal conduct policy and the enhanced drug policies and this and that.
Yeah.
I mean, one or two strikes and you're out of the league. You're dundee.
Done. Over and out, Roger and Wilco. You're sitting over there on the bench. Ask Josh Gordon how that goes.
A team that's building for the new stadium here in just a couple of years, you cannot take those chances, especially when you've got such a great leader and somebody that seems like he's the all-American young man in Teddy Bridgewater being the new face of your franchise leading this thing. Not that I want all goody-goody two-shoes necessarily on the team, and we only want the guys that are yes sir, yes ma'am, no thank you, you know, P's and Q's. Give me some football players, nobody that's in trouble with the law, nobody that's going to get in trouble with the personal conduct policy or the drug policy. It's just ridiculous. They need to be on the
field. You
have
to make them count. You have to make your draft choices count, and I don't think you should ever pass or package someone in the top 15 choices. Just take them as they come. I mean, and take who falls to you at number 11 and all the way up through 15. I would, if I were GM, I would never trade or package or put something together for 2, 3, 4 other draft choices lower by using my slam dunk. Do not use the build on the future with that guy for sure. You can't strike out and miss on that guy though. And then I think you can build on your draft. You have to stack them up. If you have a chance to stack up with players with teams that like to do that and make their trades and work with you, then take their draft choices. No trouble. We'll give you an older player. We'll take a couple of those draft choices and you can stack those things out there all you want. Perfect. 2, 3 years down the line, we'll take that and we'll have four first round draft choices in 2017. No trouble. I have no issue with that. And that's New England Patriot. That's their model. That's how they do it. But we are going to take another break. And when we come back, I think we're going to go with Brandon Warren, talk a little bit of the cold Omaha scene. Could be a run or a pass, but we'll be talking about Trevor Plouffe. The possibility of maybe getting him locked up a little bit longer while we can. Save some cash on that one. Cold Omaha, Brandon Warren, next.
People ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Could be a run.
Exit.
Could be a pass.
He cool whipped your ass.
Huh. Still feel it.
Hello!
Hi.
That's terrible.
It's not that bad. It's just sore still. Look, we have Brandon Warren joining us right now.
I take pride in my hair.
Brandon loves his hair. He often will bend over to pull his phone charger out of the wall socket and smack himself silly and knock himself out.
But slick, ain't it?
Yeah, not slick enough. Anyway, he's knocked himself out before doing just that, and his hair still remains gorgeous. So, but he does love his hair a lot.
Anywhere's Kevin Garnett earrings.
You know, I meant to say that too. I love your earrings and what you're doing with that, Warren, Brandon.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we today?
Relatively well. Yourself? Did you concuss yourself again?
No, I'm at the ballpark feeling pretty good today, so I'm very happy to be on with you guys.
Watch out for those phone chargers.
Right. They'll come and get you.
Oh. Looking at the weather forecast, And I'm just thinking, good Lord. I mean, today is fantastic. Nothing but sunshine outside, as far as I could tell the last time I saw the outside. By this weekend, though, and the Twins are here through this weekend and then part of next week as well with the Oakland A's. And the weather just keeps getting nicer and warmer. I want to say sunshine in 80s by this weekend, some day games this weekend with the Twins, you know, turning a leaf and splitting the last road series against some pretty tough teams. The Kansas City Royals, obviously, the defending American League champions. And the Seattle Mariners, who don't have the greatest record, but a pretty good lineup. There's some things looking up down there at Target Field. Sunshine, baseball, babes, beer, and Brandon Ward.
Yeah, you got it. You killed all the bees right there. And if they can keep moving positive way and get back towards 500, that'd be a good way to go. And hopefully, you know, when school gets out, they can get some kids in the park and fill this place up.
Yeah, and the place is going to fill up the way they're playing. I mean, I think the way the Twins are starting to play and starting to gel as a brand new team, new chemistry, new skipper, everything, I think it's starting to come together. Would you agree?
Yeah, and they've got some kids, too. If they need to go down to AAA and get some help, they can do that, too. So they've got some mobility and some options and some fluidity that they can go and do if they find the need to do that. And, you know, they're kind of pushing the buttons here, plug and play a little bit with the lineup, kind of tweaking it a little bit. And, you know, we'll see if they score some runs here this series against the Tigers.
Talking to Brandon Warren from Cold Omaha and our part of our writing team here at 105theticket.com. You made an interesting argument today about Trevor Plouffe and how you think that the Minnesota Wild should lock him up long term. He's never really been one of those guys where I thought, you know what, he's one of the best third basemen in the league until you kind of laid out some stats today. And tell me why you think that the Minnesota Twins should lock up Trevor Plouffe, especially when there's a guy named Miguel Sano right behind him.
Well, I mean, I don't think the Twins are in a position to take guys who are, you know, competent big league players at their position and move on from them. And it's, you know, they're not in a situation where that's coming up soon. But at the same time, you know, an act of good faith with a player who's been in your organization since you drafted him, I think 11 years ago, you know, it goes a long way. And if you can start locking up these guys that are a part of maybe your next winning window, that's what you kind of got to. Another thing is, you know, he's not tethered to third base, and neither is Sano. And so you can get both those guys in the same lineup. And, you know, I think Plouffe could be a super utility kind of guy if you want him, you know, left field, right field, first base. The Twins insist he could play second if he had to. They just don't have a need over there. So between all the options of him and the fact that Sano's bat will find its way into the lineup, whether he's playing first or DHing or playing right, I think you can find room for both of them if the situation forces itself on you.
Brandon, I think we spoke with you maybe a month or so ago when we were talking about the mediocrity of some of the core players on our team and how some of these 30, 31-year-olds have sort of capped off at what they're going to become and what their potential is, and we just sort of rely on mediocrity and mediocre numbers sometimes. Isn't Trevor Plouffe one of those guys?
I think he's kind of evolving as a player, and where he's coming into his own was not only on things that you just kind of improve with by age, but he's put in the work necessary to become a better baseball player defensively. He's gotten better at taking the ball the other way, which is, you know, a big thing for a right-handed pull power hitter to not have a leak or to be completely dead to a side of the field. And then last year he tightened it up a little bit too. He can hit righties a little bit more. And, you know, he was always a lefty masher that was always kind of vulnerable to right-handed pitching. Well, the trouble is about, you know, 60-70% of the pitchers that you face are righties. So you need to be able to protect your own side. And if he starts doing that, continues to do it like he did last year, he goes from, you know, a platoon utility kind of guy to an everyday player. And that's a huge leap, but it's the thing you expect when you take a guy in the first round, put big money and big time into him. And he seems to be kind of rewarding the Twins for that.
Brandon Warren from 105theticket.com. You're going to have to explain it to me because I'm a casual baseball fan. I love going to the ballpark. If there's nothing else going on, obviously the Minnesota Wild in the playoffs, I'm watching the Minnesota Twins, or at least it's on my TV as I'm grilling in the backyard or doing this and that around the house. One thing I didn't understand last year was how everybody thought Brian Dozier was having this great year. Batting average .242. Yeah, he did have 23 home runs. Trevor Plouffe, though, this year, batting .238, his on-base percentage .314, and from you and Mike Berardino and everybody says, you got to look at the on-base percentage. He struck out 12 times, only walked 7 times. Why is this a kind of guy that the Minnesota Twins should lock up and keep for a while? To me, just piggybacking on what the superstar said, just these guys that are have been in the organization for so long, but they've reached this plateau of mediocrity as far as I'm concerned. Explain to me and tell me why in the numbers that would be a good idea for the Minnesota Twins to lock him up.
Oh, sure. I mean, it's all about context. I mean, you have a player who looks to be visibly improving besides to me. But at the same time, in terms of context, league-wide offense is down. So what used to be a good batting average, on-base percentage, slugging percentage, has changed. And so now you've got guys hitting 240, whereas, you know, 240 used to be well below average, and a 320 on-base percentage used to be below average. Now the league average on-base percentage is like 310 or 312. So when you kind of shift paradigms there, and then you look at the rarity across the league of how many good third basemen there are, you kind of put those two things side by side, and then you kind of see, oh, geez, you know, David Wright's kind of fallen off. Pablo Sandoval's not as great as we thought he was. Evan Longoria had a rough year. And when the landscape of third base takes a tumble like that, you take stock with what you have, and you're kind of like, well, maybe we have it better than we thought. And so, you know, when you dig a little deeper to, like, the secondary stats, so he's got more power than the average third baseman. You know, the defense picked up considerably. And, you know, he's still taking his walks. The big thing for the difference between batting average and on-base percentage is what you want to look at, because that tells you how many walks a guy is taking. So as his batting average goes up, the walks take the on-base percentage up with it. And I think he's just taking more competent, capable at-bats. You know, he understands what pitchers are trying to do to him. And, you know, he's not getting himself out. And I think that's a big part of the evolution for any hitter. You know, not everybody's Joe Mauer when they roll out of bed in the morning. I think Trevor Plouffe has worked hard to become as good as he is.
Even Joe Mauer isn't Joe Mauer as much as he used to be when he rolls out of bed in the morning. He had a pretty nice game, though, yesterday, top of the 11th with that come from behind, basically, that triple that scored two runs for the Minnesota Twins. Are you seeing what the superstar Mike Morris and I are seeing? We talk about this. We've talked about it really the last week and a half, where we're starting to see something different about this Minnesota Twins organization. The starters, all five of them, their ERAs have been the worst in the league the last couple of years. Now all five of them are below five ERA, which, that doesn't sound like enough, but that's a pretty significant climb for the Minnesota Twins. And it seems like they're having that attitude, that swagger, too, which is coming down from Paul Molitor. Are you noticing that change, too, or is it just us?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a different vibe. And I think if it's also coming from Torrey Hunter, that's probably a positive thing, too. It does feel like a different clubhouse. You get a more stern, kind of business-like manager. And that's not a slight on Ron Gardenhire, because Gardenhire obviously had some very, very good teams, too. So I don't know if it comes from the top in terms of Molitor, if it comes from Torrey Hunter. If anything, I think Torrey Hunter might be the kind of guy that can get a little extra out of, like, a Brian Dozier leadership-wise, because believe it or not, they're pretty similar in terms of their gregariousness and that. So I think, you know, between the leadership up top in terms of veterans, and there's a lot more veterans on this club too, in terms of bullpen guys, you know, Shane Robinson's got a good veteran mentality. And I think, you know, you sometimes never want to buy too closely into it, because at the same time, you have to get it done on the field. You can't just be a rah-rah guy. But there's something in play, and I think I agree with you guys, that this is just a little bit of a different vibe, and we're seeing it not only in the clubhouse, but on the field a little bit.
Brandon Warren, everybody. Cold Omaha. One of the writers here at 105 The Ticket. A great breakdown, as always, about your Minnesota Twins, and I couldn't agree with you more. I think that the new skipper, Paul Molitor, is making instinctive moves that I think only a Hall of Fame baseball player maybe can make. And just this guy seemed like the part Thompson coming in as a lefty, being brought up. You know, you mentioned Robinson, Shane Robinson, I think coming up big now over the weekend a couple times. I don't know if those moves would have been made with Ron Gardenhire, or I don't know if we would have even seen those players in here doing those kinds of things. But anyway, I like Paul Molitor so far. Brandon, thank you for your time. You'll join us again, I'm hoping.
Sounds great. Yeah, a week from today.
Very good. Brandon Warren, everyone, with Cold Omaha up next. We're going to talk the draft a little bit. I like what's going on, and we have different stories, some of the top stories of the draft, the upcoming draft. We've got some good ones, quarterback-related. The stock value as it mounts for different players and plummets for others. Jameis Winston. Funny story developing over him. All the time. Something funny on Jameis Winston, Mariota, and so many other storylines. Come on back.
That's what Holtz means in German. Hardwood.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Oh, my God, it's you! If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible, too.
You need serious professional help.
I've been told that 63 Earths could fit inside.
I told you that.
Uranus.
I told you that. Stealing my thunder.
Word has it. 63 Earths would fit inside Uranus. Top 10 storylines of the 2015 NFL draft. A lot of them very, very repetitive. However, the quarterback equation seems to change by the second.
What do you mean it seems to change by the second?
Because just
Jameis Winston number one and Marcus Mariota as high as number two, probably as low as number six.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. You're very close on that, and I think that also Jameis Winston may not be that first one.
I'm also hearing that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ownership and front office have signed off on Jameis Winston. But as you know, anything leading up to the draft is probably all one fat lie. Nobody's telling the truth. Not a single person is telling the truth.
This is unbelievable. I mean, what has been going on now for the last couple months of hearing about Jameis Winston and his character and how far he's come since his days back at Florida State, where they were tough times for him. His first couple years there, first 3 years there, tough times. Having to overcome some charges there at the school. And a civil charge still being pressed on by a woman who allegedly said she was raped by Jameis Winston. Also, some shoplifting, some other character issues.
But somebody gave it to him. Somebody gave him the crab legs.
It was a hookup.
It was a hookup. And then he got on top of a lunch table
at the student union.
Effer right in the P.
Yep.
Because that's
which is probably
the franchise
not a great.
One.
Choice of words.
No.
For a guy that has several real major, hits against him, strikes against him. So they're talking about what, is this money well spent? They're going back, they're looking at the drafts before in the past, and they're talking about some of the quarterbacks that have been taken one, two, whatever the case. And more people are saying this guy is a liability.
Of course he is.
He is Jamarcus Russell all over again. Jamarcus Russell didn't have as many issues as this, but I mean, they're saying that off the field, away from these tryouts, these pro days, that he's just Jameis Winston all over again. He's great in front of the camera. He's got the big smile and the yes sir, no sir sort of thing. And then as soon as he packs his bags and walks off, you can almost see him change as he heads down the street and gets in a car or back to his dorm.
So are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just that stupid, or why would they come out and say, you know what, we like Jameis Winston number one overall? Why would they say, you know what, we're not sure who we're going to take number one overall, we're listening to trade opportunity packages? You and I saw last week the trade value chart. The first overall pick is worth 3,000 points, whereas the Minnesota Vikings, where they selected number 11, I want to say was what, 1,200 points or something like that?
Pretty close,
You can get quite the haul if somebody is willing to trade with you for that number one pick. And I don't know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I love when I play video games. When I play Madden or MLB The Show or NBA Live, whatever it is, I like to trade back until there's somebody, and gain assets, until there's somebody that I think is a can't-miss prospect, and then go up and get that person, because you've had all of these assets that you continue to stockpile.
You amass.
Kind of like what the
two-for-ones.
Yeah, kind of exactly what the New England Patriots do. I mean, Bill Belichick is smart. Always trading back. And if there's something there that he wants, he's got all these picks for the next couple of years to come up, that he can move assets up to go grab and snag that guy that he really, really likes. So I just don't understand what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are doing.
But they have all the cards. I mean, number one is they get to draft first, so they can kind of do whatever they want. And really, the cat out of the bag is not really the cat out of the bag. It's just their own way of playing with the media, playing with whomever, playing with, a poker face or all out front. Regardless, any team is going to call them about that number one. All teams are going to call them about that number one and seeing what they're going to want to do. And they can say whatever they want. We'll trade him if need. We'll trade that pick if need be, and or we're going to take Jameis Winston or we're going to take Marcus Mariota. You can't be wrong. You can't be wrong. Because you have the first pick, doesn't matter.
But in this draft, I mean, when it comes to the NBA draft, and we talk the Minnesota Timberwolves, the worst record in the NBA this year, and the lottery coming up here in about 3 weeks in the middle of May, in that particular draft, I want number one overall, because there are two players, theoretically, that I think are worthy of that top, those top two picks, both big men, obviously, one over the other. That's why I want number one, and saying, not saying, oh, one or two, whatever, it doesn't matter, we'll take whatever it is. With this particular draft for the NFL, I don't feel like it matters who's the number one overall selection, because there isn't that one can't-miss guy, or that one guy that you think has this super high ceiling that you have to have on the team to build your team around to continue to better your franchise, especially coming off the worst record in the NFL last year.
Yeah, and I can't see either of these two guys, if I had the number one, I'd be trading back, because I don't see either of the two guys, the two quarterbacks, being that guy.
And I also feel the same way about the Minnesota Vikings at number 11. I know you love Trey Waynes. I trust you. I've been watching a lot of film on Trey Waynes, doing a lot of reading. I just don't feel like he's that far and ahead of the rest of the cornerbacks in the first round, and especially because Rick Spielman likes to have 10 draft picks. He only has seven right now. You could trade back, and who knows what you could get. It's pretty deep when it comes to linebackers in the end of the first round, early second round. Wide receivers, guard. We need all of those situations. And, yeah, I don't know. I just don't understand what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are doing, and that's why I guess I'm asking you these rhetorical questions.
I don't think they're rhetorical. I just think that as you move closer to draft day, you have different things that you can bring up that might make sense. If they're all hypothetical questions. If I had the number one pick, if I was the GM, if you were, I mean, it's a great question to ask. Like, would you really spend that kind of money on Jameis Winston?
I wouldn't.
Would you really guarantee that kid?
No.
You know, what is normally now in this day and age, probably 25% to 35% of that money is guaranteed to the during the rookie contract. But I don't know how people can buy into this guy's act. Mariota, I don't believe is the guy either.
No.
But I could take some of those running backs. I could take the linemen. Certainly the best men for the value, I think, for that number one overall choice would be one of the receivers. I think that might be the way to go.
Aren't you just so...
And it's so hard to talk. And yeah. Trey Waynes probably isn't that far ahead of the other corners available. Might even, but he comes with a cleaner deal. He comes with a cleaner package, and that's what makes him attractive to most people.
Aren't you just glad that the Minnesota Vikings have found, hopefully, I mean, I'm knocking on wood here, it's only 1 year in, but everything that you want a quarterback to be in Teddy Bridgewater?
At number 32 overall. That was pretty, because he was supposed to go number one. And that's incredible to think that you got the kind of value that we got with the quarterback that we selected and turned out to be a good rookie, a really, really outstanding rookie, I think. With tons of things going on wrong around him, he was still able to prevail and turn in a successful card at the end of the season. So anyway, I think we got an awful lot for the money, and that was one of the best trades to get Seattle's choice at number 32 to get him. Not to mention Barr earlier at number what, 4 or 5, Anthony Barr. But I was tickled with the draft last year. I think most of us were. Come on back, everyone. We will talk. Transgender? I get it. I get that. We're going to talk about Bruce Jenner, of course, as we knew him and as we move forward, as we should know her next on this very
show. Your all-day sports talk leader, 105 The Ticket.
Bruce Jenner is, yes, for all intents and purposes, I am a woman.
Do you have a song that you play over and over again in your head in this moment?
She's a lady. Yeah, I love that song.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. She's the kind I'd like to flaunt and take to dinner.
You like to wear women's clothes and I'm gone.
Yeah. Well, she always knows her place. She's got style, she's got grace. She's a winner.
Bruce Jenner.
Bruce Jenner, the world's greatest athlete.
Bruce Jenner. She's a lady.
I do a little cross-dressing, I do a little this, a little that.
She's a lady.
Are you a lesbian?
Talking about that little lady.
Let's go with asexual.
And the lady is mine. She knows what I'm about. She can take what I dish out, and that's not easy.
You can't leave the house looking like this anymore. It's so embarrassing.
But she knows me through and through, and she knows just what to do and how to please me.
He's gotta look good.
She's a lady.
Oh my God, is he gay?
Are you gay?
No, I'm not gay.
I am. That simple. And the lady is mine. I'm 65. Yeah. It's not like I'm, you know, you want to go out and get it on all the time. You gotta look really good. She's a lady. Yeah, I love that song.
Yeah. There you do. Bruce Jenner, everyone.
Seriously.
At least for the time being, very seriously. And
the most interesting interview, 2 hours. I stayed up. My mom called on Saturday morning. What do you do? I don't even remember. It's something important she wanted to talk to me about. I was like, I'm a little tired. It was 9:30. Why are you so tired? Well, I watched the Wild game last night, and then I had to go back and rewatch Bruce Jenner. Not that I mean, I had the whole weekend to watch it, but it was one of those things where I'm seeing on Twitter, emphatically, I'm a woman, or whatever he was saying. And reading all those things, I got to watch this thing. And everybody I've talked to that saw it was completely just sucked in. It is. Yeah,
it is. Because of who he was to begin with, what his life has played out to be. I watched the whole thing myself. I mean, what he said, there were so many times he was so upset about who he was what his true identity was inside, that he said, wouldn't it have been just as easy to go in the room and load a gun and just bang? That's how he did it. And just bang. Mm. Have it over with. Mm. He said, no, you know what? No. I thought, you know, I want to see how this story's going to end.
Yeah, it felt like, there's another clip here I want to play before we get too far into it. But Bruce Jenner, I felt like, became a little bit looser as the interview went on. He started to feel a little bit more comfortable. And he started turning into a grandma.
A little bit. Well, he did. I mean, he's 65. Imagine how much pain you have to be in to live the kind of life he's led as maybe one of the most macho guys on the planet for a while, and being married to the women that he was married to, and having the kids, great kids too. His sons, yeah. In his second marriage, from his second marriage.
Yeah, Brandon, I think.
The singer.
Yeah.
They're amazing kids.
Yeah.
And they understand him. They're trying to understand him. And he's still hurting so bad at the age of 65. That he wants to just change it and be able to live his last years. And what he said was, it's not going to be me in dresses. It's going to be me finally being me and not having to wear men's clothes.
Mm. Yeah, and I think Diane Sawyer asked some serious questions. So are you gay? And he's like, no.
No.
And so that's why it became so confusing. Okay, so you're going to transition to be a woman. Then are you a lesbian?
Right.
And he's like, no, let's just say for right now I'm asexual. And it's just, I don't know. Here's 40 seconds of Diane Sawyer talking to him from Friday night.
Bruce Jenner is, I would say I've always been very confused with my gender identity since I was this big. Here I am stuck, and I hate the word, a girl stuck in a guy's body. I hate that terminology.
Why?
I'm me. I'm a person. And this is who I am. So... yes, for all intents and purposes, I am a woman. People look at me differently. They see you as this macho male. But my heart and my soul and everything that I do in life, it is part of me. That female side is part of me. That's who I am. I was not genetically born that way. As of now, I have all the male parts and all that kind of stuff. So in a lot of ways, we're different. But we still identify as female. And that's very hard for Bruce Jenner to say. Because why? I don't want to disappoint people.
To hear a guy, in this case, talk about his kids and not wanting to let them down, and basically just going through with the rest of his life, being in agony, and not free from all of that, and not being able to live freely, and the existence that he wants to be able to come and go and blend in. And he says he just wants to blend in. Hmm. I just want to blend in.
I'm not real outgoing.
I just want to be able to blend in with people and be myself and comfortable within myself. Well, I mean, it's incredible. But at 65, it still means that much to him that he's willing to change the whole thing before he's done with this.
You can already tell in his voice. His voice is starting to change a little bit, whether he's affecting that or it's because of the hormones he's taking. SRS, sexual reassignment surgery. All of this stuff is coming probably in the next year, whether it be the new name, referring to him as her. He still wants to be called him and Bruce for now until things happen. He still wants a little bit more time to transition. But Yeah, no.
Very confusing.
Oh, it's so confusing.
So complex.
So complex. All I know is that I feel bad for him, for the pain, like you said, that he's been going through internally, whether it's a mental issue, whether it's a therapy thing, whether it's a chemical imbalance, or whether it's a really God's honest truth and thing that he is dealing. I mean, I don't know. It's not me.
It's so confusing to me.
I have no idea.
Unbelievable.
The questions Diane Sawyer was asking, I thought were pointed and right on, being respectful, but still getting to the point. It'll be interesting. I mean, I'm already going to DVR this thing on E that he's got this summer. It's just
got another thing coming up too. Yeah.
It's so different and odd.
Well, I mean, he goes on to say, but as you heard just now in that clip, no, I'm not gay, but my feelings and my heart and who I am and my identity is a woman. Mm-hmm. But yet he's been married, of course, to three women, mm-hmm. all these kids, yep. everything else. So if you've always had the heart and the soul and the thought process of a woman, wouldn't that lead you to men then later?
But the important thing that he said in the interview is, no. Sexuality and gender are two completely different things.
Who do you go to bed with is your sexuality. Who you are when you go to bed is your gender.
Yeah, and that's why I thought Diane Sawyer was followed up with a really important question. Okay, are you a lesbian?
He said no.
Yeah, but I don't think he necessarily knows at the same point either, because he's going through this transition.
He said, I'll have to give it time. I'm going to give this time to grow into this and to feel the way I need to feel, and then make a decision on what all of that is when I find out more of who I am when I'm like this. I'm asexual right now. For the time being, asexual. That's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wonder what happens to your parts if you're taking all of these female...
I don't think it takes... It does that much in that regard until you have...
Because you can tell he's starting to grow
changes.
Boobs.
Well, you can do that.
What happens to your ding-a-ling?
I don't think that much. But until it's replaced, until he asks and puts in enough time, there's a time frame that you have to go before you can have the rest of the parts changed out.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that does estrogen wise to that. I don't think that much, but definitely for the breast type things.
I don't know.
He said, I'm not even really sure if I'm going to have all of the parts changed either. I'm going to have to find out who I am, what I am, when I'm like this full time to know whether or not that can happen. If it does, it'll probably happen within the next year or so.
I hope the SRS, the sexual reassignment surgery, is on YouTube, because we need to take a break and I'd like to watch that.
Yeah.
Don't you want to know how it changes from that to this to the, to this to that?
They have to change it, all right.
Well, I know they do, but how does it work?
Scalpel, please. I'm not really totally sure.
We'll YouTube it. We got to take a break. We'll YouTube it.
Yeah. Come on back. I'm cringing still.
You can watch us on YouTube if you sign in.
We're talking about how they do the change out.
Bruce
parts from male to female. And how they kind of, change the peen to a vajayjay.
I don't think they do anything with the peen. It's just bye-bye.
I'm watching something happen to the peen. Okay. Hello.
I thought it was interesting that he called it the vajayjay, but...
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, if you're interested in it, YouTube. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think they do quite a bit with the little feller.
Oh, my God. No.
Yeah,
oh,
it's just
no!
not good. I know. Yeah, I know. It's a sad story. I suppose if I lost my peen, I'd like to maybe get it back somehow. I would choose something from the zoo. I'd like to have like a... Here's what I like to... If I had a choice and I had to pick something, I think maybe a wildebeest bag. A wildebeest bag.
What are they doing? No, don't do that.
My body rejected a chimpanzee bag already. It got kind of gamey.
Don't do that anymore.
Yeah, that's horrible. Ooh, turn that off. Ooh.
I like it. I can't stop watching it. Just like the 2020 thing. The 2020 two-hour dealio with Bruce Transgender.
That's his dealio's over after that.
It is.
We'll just call it the dealio. When we talk about parts changes, the change out, well, you and I will just know that as the dealio.
I mean, that's a pretty serious dealio. Yeah,
well, I mean, go figure. They're going to change the whole dealio. I mean, we're talking about all, the whole dealio.
Let's just say there's a lot of cutting. There's a lot of switching out. There's a lot of stitches. There's a lot of this and that and then and the thing and the dilly.
Just
and
different the parts and then the dealio happens.
Yeah.
A lot of parts are, well, they're scrapped.
A lot of scissors. A lot of scissors being used.
Then seems to be just some different tissue manipulation.
Huh.
You got to make it.
Oh,
how else do you make it? I mean, how? You don't just run down and grab. Hey, someone run down to the and get me a.
That's a guy that's died.
Well,
that's a dealio that they've taken off.
That's
doesn't even look like a dealio anymore.
I guess you could call that a done dealio. Ooh. Yeah, that's that. I'm going to throw up, I think. I might vomit right on the microphone. I mean, Bruce, if you're listening, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh. Hmm. I just think it's not, they'd probably go ahead and just get her done with what you got. It's 65. Come on. Just get her done.
But he's wanted it his whole life.
Well, put a dress on. Enjoy yourself. Grow your hair, which he's done. Check. Have the beard removed somehow, one way or another, check. He's been taking female hormones
for
5 years in the 80s.
They're cutting the dealio.
Yeah, they sure
are.
Oh,
God.
So he's lost the beard. Looks really, really kind of like, I don't know how to put this delicately. It almost looks like fire, like a fire burn. Parts of his face look like it's been... You know how you get like the second, third degree burns from a fire, and the plastic surgery to repair that is kind of how he, what his face sort of looks like. And there's an eye that seems to completely be different than the other eye, and it blinks on its own.
It doesn't blink.
Yeah, it blinks on its own. Yeah. There's one that blinks on its own, and the other one doesn't. As he's just randomly speaking to Diane Sawyer, I kept saying to myself, that eye. He's got one eye that shuts, it blinks on its own, and the other one doesn't do anything. Like, what happened there?
Ugh. A lot of surgery.
I said to my wife, do you notice anything with the eyes? Yeah, there's one that just does that.
Just a mess.
Maybe he got hit in the eye with a javelin.
Seriously,
I don't know.
It was so intense, that interview. After watching it, did you ever think that maybe you're a woman?
Oh, wait. Did I ever think I was? Little does anyone really know that what I know about me. Oh, I was a woman. I was a woman, but I want this, and I look how I turned out. Huh? No. No, I always felt like I was pretty much just who I am.
I've never thought that I was a woman back when I was a kid. And
right.
When you're a kid, you think all these silly, weird things.
Yes.
When I grew up, I wanted to be a black woman. I don't know why.
See, there now you can feel for him, see?
I don't want to be a black woman anymore. But
white?
No woman. I don't want to be a woman. I'm a guy. I get it.
Okay.
But then after watching the thing on 2020, I thought, No, come on. Why am I thinking this?
Well, I don't know. You tell me.
I don't know.
I always felt dude-like.
Well, me too.
I almost just felt like I was a dude.
Yeah, it's just...
I always wanted to grow up and just play with the spiders and snakes and puppies and... Well. That's not a penis.
Mm. Or a vajij.
It's somewhere very much in between the two. I think, I don't know. Oh, look at this part.
Yeah.
See this?
Let me see.
It's like a diagram. It's not the real thing, everybody. Okay. It's like a diagram. It's an animated...
But they show some real things.
Yeah, they do. They do.
You go to YouTube, you're going to have to sign in as your Gmail account to actually watch this stuff because it's like age protected. But if you're interested to see how
it's slightly disturbing.
Huh.
But again, then if you wanted to know how they got that done, that's how they do the dealio.
Huh.
Sad story. But I'm guessing that if you wanted one or didn't want one, that would make your day. Mm-hmm. That would make you, in fact, who you wanted to be. From a rooster to a hen. In one operation. Come on back. Hey, let them do whatever they want to do, man. It's your life. We got some sillier sides of sports, as if this wasn't enough. And we got a true superstar right after this.
Well, I know what I'll be doing for the rest of the evening.
It takes longer than an evening to get that done. It's going to be a lot longer than that, so don't get all excited and thinking you're going to be able to do it all in one night. Can't do it.
A lot of watching on the YouTube.
I wish Bruce would just pass on that second phase.
Yeah.
I don't think it could be possible. I don't think it could be good.
Sillier side of sports, former heavyweight boxer David Haye arrested in the Dubai airport. He's being held in police custody over a $519,000 bounce check. He allegedly wrote as payment for a new property.
How much was it again, please?
$519,000.
Okay, well.
Check.
That's really writing a, that's a very bad
check. This used
check.
To be a woman.
Yeah.
That used to be a woman.
Well, she's pretty damn studly now.
Stronger than I am.
Well, of course, and you saw the different people that they brought on the show with Diane Sawyer. Was there was the Navy SEAL as well?
Yes.
Who served and then became a woman afterwards. Mm-hmm. I'm all for those people. I mean, why live like that? I mean, if it makes you feel free and yourself and who you should be, it's just amazing to me. 18 months is the earliest that they've discovered someone who wanted to be the other way. And they said, how would you know? How could you possibly know in 18 months? Because the first words were, I'm a boy, or I a boy. It's just incredible. But a tiny 18-month-old girl said, I a boy.
Yeah.
You saw that.
Kids,
right?
Yeah, kids say the darndest things.
Yeah, they do. Well, I mean, hey, but that's, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's confusing to me. I still don't know even what I saw. I'm still trying to filter what that is. And so is he, quite frankly. He doesn't know what he's going to do after it finally does kind of, you know, go together. And what level of that is going to go together. We don't know. He doesn't know.
No. This boxer, $519,000 bounce check. They don't really like that very much.
$500,000.
We're in the United Arab Emirates. Boxer handed over his passport to authorities. He's been able to leave the UAE, forcing him to miss a mixed martial arts event in Birmingham over the weekend. The check was presented to the bank 4 days before he landed. It's not due to be presented until final completion of the property, which is due in a few weeks. The 34-year-old has been stuck in the Middle East for 2 weeks after he was arrested off the plane. 20-year-old daughter of former Bulls star Scottie Pippen arrested early Sunday for drunkenly peeing in a hotel lobby while accusing the arresting officer of, quote, being racist. According to the Iowa City Police, Sierra Pippen, an undergrad at the University of Iowa, was charged with public urination and public intoxication before being released from jail around 10 a.m. on Sunday after posting a $500 bond. Employees at the Sheridan in Iowa City called police after the eldest of ex-Bulls children relieved herself in the hotel lobby and then left. The report added that Pippen was arrested at the same location on April 10th. Just a couple of days ago, after getting into a verbal altercation with hotel security while also, again, drunk.
In Iowa City.
Yeah.
Same place. You got to go back to the hotel to raise hell.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone ever really understand that they are not, just don't knock it off and leave yourself alone. It's like you're kicking your own ass, you know, just kind of like liar, liar.
Yeah.
I'm kicking my own ass. That's what these people are doing. They just are gluttons for punishment, and guess who's delving it out? Themselves. Just can you knock it off and make life easier for yourself?
Yeah.
Stay at home, drink, and pee in your living room.
ABC 7 in Chicago made a whoopsies over the weekend when they showed the Hawks and Predators logo with the tagline, Blacks Win. Instead of Blackhawks Win, Blacks Win.
Okay. Perfect. Try again.
The Detroit Pistons have understandably taken plenty of criticism for drafting Darko Milicic, second overall in the 2003 NBA draft, when Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Carmelo Anthony were all still available. And while Milicic's career didn't exactly play out like Joe Dumars and the Pistons' brain trust had hoped, his beer-drinking career still on point. Remember, the Wolves gave one of the worst draft busts in the history of the NBA, $20 million guaranteed, and David Kahn called him Manna from Heaven.
Yep.
It's all over the interwebs if you want to go see it. Darko slamming a beer without using his hands. Then he pours the beer over a tattoo of his and talking to it as if it's a thirsty person. It's quite the odd video.
Well, he's talented. I mean, not many people can do that. There aren't many people that can pull that off.
Mm.
Probably just Darko. Pretty sure you have to have the right tattoo. Probably has to be the right kind of beer. I'll try it. I mean, I can try. I don't know if I have the right tattoo, but I can give it a shot.
Well, it's easy to stay calm, logical, and peaceful from your couch, but it's harder when cops are shooting people in the back and then breaking their necks for no reason at all. That's kind of what's going on in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Hard to be peaceful when the police aren't being peaceful, so keep that in mind when you're watching what's happening in Baltimore. Of course, always people who just want to use any situation to commit criminal acts, which is also happening, but let's not forget what criminal act is being unpunished currently that sparked all of this outrage. But the Baltimore Orioles have canceled tonight's baseball game. After consultation with the Baltimore City Police Department, tonight's game between the Orioles and the White Sox has been postponed. All this stuff that's happening around the country.
That's when it gets pretty sticky, when you start seeing that you even have to start canceling some of the sporting events. That's rarely done. That's how serious it's gotten. I mean, when are we as a society, but not just that, but our law enforcement people going to stand up and take notice to this kind of abuse? It's because you see it on film. You see the video. It's them really doing that. I mean I don't want to hear a bunch of them coming out and saying how tough it is to wake up in the morning and be, you know, a law enforcement officer, and that this is what we go through every day, and people just don't understand. No, we clearly understand what just happened there. We saw it. Then there doesn't seem to be any excuse for what you just did. Sorry. There is no explanation for what we have seen over and over and over again on video for them to go through with what they do, which is ending up killing people. Yeah. Black people, young black men.
Unarmed.
When's it going to stop?
I don't know.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It is. It's absolutely ridiculous. So I don't blame them for canceling the game.
Yeah.
They're going to raise hell, probably.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's happened in Missouri and all over the place.
Too often.
Yeah.
Far too often. Something's got to be done.
We've talked about Adrian Peterson to the Dallas Cowboys all the way really since, I think it was November, thanks to Jerry Jones saying that he wanted Peterson on the Cowboys. They had the little chit-chat before the season. It seems as though now they will not make a play for Peterson, or at least that's what Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network is saying, that the Cowboys have no interest in making a trade for the Vikings running back, whether it's the Vikings wanting too much for Peterson, and rightfully so. They should hold on and get whatever they can or keep him. Allegedly a first rounder and more, or the fact that Peterson has this crazy large contract that the Cowboys just can't afford. We aren't sure yet. Obviously not even sure if it's even truthful or not, whether they're not going to trade for him.
The draft, let it be known. Don't believe a single thing, not one single thing, as you head into the draft.
Yeah.
They are not going to tell you. They will not tell you. They won't allow that kind of information to pass out of the each and every war room. They will not talk about that. If they are, they're just playing with you.
Yeah. Join the superstar and Mike Morris and I. Wednesday, we do a nationwide mock draft. It's going to be a lot of fun. Then wall-to-wall coverage on the Minnesota Vikings on Thursday. Tomorrow, obviously, we'll talk Twins, update you on the Wild, even more draft talk and all that good stuff. But now, it's time to go home.
True superstar for today. Army Major Michael J. Donahue, 41 years of age, from Columbus, Ohio, died September 16 in Kabul, Afghanistan, in a suicide car bomb attack. He was assigned to the headquarters and headquarters battalion, 18th Airborne Corps, Fort Bragg, North Carolina. He was just 41 years of age. Again, he died September 16th, 2014. Army Major Michael J. Donahue is my brave warrior. He's the true superstar for the day. Remember him in your hearts and prayers, please, as you move along during your busy days, your busy week, and remember him, please.
Lay me down.